We have a special guest today. We got Boylan here from Marvel Strike Force, which is another Scopely property. Are you an official content creator for Strike Force?
I was, and then I got kicked out of their Envoy program.
That sounds so shocking.
See, and that's the huge difference with our game. That is a huge fundamental difference, is that it doesn't matter how much you save. There are some things that are behind a paywall. In fact, a lot of things.
Sorry, are you saying there's a finite number of people who can actually get these new characters?
Correct. It used to be that way.
So my question would be, how meta are these new character releases? So for people for free-to-play who don't have them, are they really set back by not having them?
Oh yeah, you're fucked.
All right, welcome everyone to a Friday edition of Trek Talk. I'm your host, TechMan16.
And I'm Handy.
We have a special guest today. We got Boylan here from Marvel Strike Force, which is another Scopely property, which is his second job as opposed to our second job of Star Trek Fleet Command. Boylan, how are you doing today?
Hey, welcome. Hey, thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, appreciate you coming on. I know we've been going back and forth and kind of, you know, real life gets in the way, but luckily we're able to do this. I just wanted to thank you for taking the time today. I know Fridays is the day where new blogs come out, right?
Do you guys get that in any of this, like in Star Trek?
No, we don't have a specific day where like news happens because, well, we'll get into this later, but Scopely has issues every day. So we get news every day or every other day about something going on.
Yeah. That's true here too.
But anyways, why don't we start off and tell us who you are, promote your channel. Are you an official content creator for Strike Force?
I was, and then I got kicked out of their Envoy program. So I don't know if that's we need to talk about that. But you know, I am still doing YouTube videos, and actually I actually got more successful after leaving their Envoy program, so it is what it is, I guess, there. But I had some differences with them, not Scopely, because it's Boundless Entertainment, which is, you know, I guess the company that runs Marvel Strike Force, as opposed to Scopely being the umbrella company, I guess.
That sounds so shocking.
Oh, sorry. I'm Boylan. I do Marvel Strike Force content on YouTube. I used to do Twitch as well, but I stopped that in the summer. Might go back to that in the future. And I do daily or every other day videos for the last 2 years or so.
Now, Marvel Strike Force, have you ever played Marvel Future Revolution? Is that similar in any way, shape, or form?
That's more of like an action MMO. I think Future Revolution was like the sequel to Future Fight, which was like a lesser graphic version from the same company. But this is just a hero collector, so I don't know. It'd be closer to Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, if you've heard of that. Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, maybe like Raid Shadow Legends, but they have little different mechanics in that one.
So why don't you, you know, because we play Star Trek Fleet Command, and there's so many things that go on there. Why don't you give us kind of like a breakdown of, you know, a brief breakdown of how you play Marvel Strike Force?
Okay, well, it's a hero collector, so I guess when you start the game, you know, you're given a couple of starter characters, and right now we have about 200-ish, low 200s characters. And it's a five-man team that you use for your battles. And these days, anyways, you're typically using what they call synergized teams. So like team tags, like Avengers or Wakanda, or, you know, they're related in some way. There used to be a lot more theory crafting in the past, where you used to just put characters together based on what they did. But nowadays, they're kind of pigeonholing, I guess, a lot of the characters. Like, you have to use these characters with these other ones because that's what makes sense. So there's less theory crafting than before, which is unfortunate. But yeah, there's a couple of different game modes. You know, there's daily raids. There's arena, which is where you get your premium currency. Every game has their premium currency. So this is like a daily payout that you get for that premium currency. I don't know if you ever played the Scopely's Looney Tunes World of Mayhem, but they had a similar feature as to that. Actually, that would be very close. to Strike Force. It would just be a Looney Tunes version of that, essentially.
It'd just be Looney Tunes.
and so there's a couple of game modes, but the time spent in the game can get a bit much right now because there's a handful of different game modes. A newer game mode that came out recently, and I think the screen time for a mobile game is pretty high, I would say, compared to others I've played in the past. So, obviously I do this as part of my job, but, you know, if I wasn't, I don't know. I might be questioning about how much screen time I'm putting on a daily basis on a mobile game.
I think we all struggle with that notion, is how much screen time do you actually put into a game? And then, so on that note, right, so it's a hero collector. Your basic gameplay is to gain shards, tier your characters so you could get more loot from your raids, I'm assuming.
Yeah, so you have a star levels of your characters from 1 to 7. Most characters unlock at 2 or 3 star. Legendary characters a little bit higher. And then you have your gear tier, which is your main form of progression, really. Right now we go all the way up to gear tier 17, although that's quite hard to get at this point.
So one of the things that I was always interested in discussing between the universes, right, the Marvel Strike Force universe and then the Star Trek Fleet Command universe, is how much money does it take to be effective in the game?
I think that might vary based on who you asked. For me, and part of my channel is that I don't actually spend much, so I'm a very, very light spender, sometimes not even at all in a month. I've paid for 2 characters this year, which was about $50 each. But the other content creators, it's very common for them to spend $100 per character release, which is every 10 days. And then maybe extra stuff on top, you know, just gear offers or other random crap.
Do they pit you against other players as far as ranking and whatnot?
Yeah.
And you've got whales in too, right? The people that spend thousands of dollars a week or whatever.
How high you want to go. There's one person in particular. His name is Tadano Mac Japan. He apparently owns the Tadano Mac Crane Company in Japan, and he spends over 6 digits a month or 6 digits a year, something like that. Something crazy. He's the highest spender in Marvel Strike Force, and he is like one of the top players.
Does he ever lose?
I guess the way that you lose is a little bit. I don't know if I call it losing. I mean, it's I guess depending on what game mode you're running, of course. But yeah, I mean, because there's always a way to beat another player if you're using different characters. Even though his gear score and his character power is really high, you could still overcome that with good strategy, I guess. So it's not always, maybe it's not worth spending all that much money, right? You know, if you can still lose.
You're right.
But yeah, I know a lot of people, like on average, I would say spend semi-competitively, of course, $200 a month is probably not unreasonable. More if you want to be competitive, or quote competitive, I guess, depending on what your definition of competitive is.
I got a quick question. In your type of game, in your game mm-hmm. that we're talking about, what percentage would you say money, just spending a lot, guarantees that you win? Like in our game, the money spenders, 9 times out of 10 are win just because they're the ones to spend money.
I think the game is so varied with different game modes that buying a single new character isn't necessarily going to, you know, get you to win everything, right? You kind of need to invest in everything. And so that's a whole different question, I guess, because that would be a lot of money. But when it comes to new characters, for example, you know, you would get a free to play would get them like 2 to 3 star. But then if you spend, you can go all the way up to 7, technically, which is a huge power advantage. But just because you have a 7-star character doesn't necessarily mean you will win. You know, like with the right counter or the right other characters against you, you could hypothetically still lose. So it's more of just feeling powerful, but it doesn't mean that you're guaranteed to win everything. You're more likely, of course, because the power is high, but you know, it's not saying that you're 100% you're going to win everything.
So semi similar.
You can't really just power your way through. I mean, I guess you could if you spend all that money.
You can. I mean, but if you don't really like understand the game or the game mechanics, you know, then the spending might not necessarily mean you're going to win all the time.
So when I was watching some of your videos, I mean, your videos are really geared towards how to source characters through, they're called orbs, right? you unlock.
Yeah. So I guess in other games, like if you've played a wider range of mobile games, they have like banners or pull banners or summons or things like that. Marvel Strike Force has various amount of orbs. But when a new character comes out, you can either use your premium currency to buy an orb of the character, or you just buy the offer for $100 or whatever, and just, you know, get the shards given to you. So for me, because I don't spend a lot of money, I use my premium currency that I earn through the arena game mode every day. And then I save that for character releases, and then I get the character for free because I'm using my premium currency to unlock them. So that helps me stay ahead a little bit, but doing it without spending.
See, and that's the huge difference with our game. That is a huge fundamental difference, is that it doesn't matter how much you save. There are some things that are behind a paywall. In fact, a lot of things. And if you don't spend money, you're not getting it. Now, there are events where you can win, but then you only have one or two winners out of 80 people in each particular bracket, you know, or maybe even more people.
A good example right now is that we have an event ongoing for the character Spider-Man Noir. I don't know if you watched Into the Spider-Verse, that's where you might have seen him from. And he has for free to play, you can get about 100 to 130 shards, which is like a 3-star character. Or if you whale out, you know, on the event, then you can get 5-star, 4-star plus, whereas other people can't. So it's a difference, but it's not huge enough, I guess, to keep the free to plays from, you know, not catching up, I guess. So there's still a gap, and it's getting worse, because before it used to be that you could get a 4-star, 5-star free to play, and now it's more like 3-star guaranteed. So they've kind of pushed back. They've kind of clawed back on like what you could do free to play.
But as you keep going, as you keep progressing through the game, right? So characters that were released, you know, a month ago, or rather, like a year ago, I'm assuming they would be more easily sourced at that point.
This is very contentious right now, because we're coming up on the 1-year anniversary of two characters who are just finally getting announced, where they could become more widely available. And even then, it's not really something that's consistent. So this is the Eternals from the Eternals movies, that, you know, there's Icarus and Cersei, and they're two of the best characters in the game as a duo, and they just recently became semi-available, and it's been almost a year. And so some people are really frustrated with how long it takes for some of these characters to actually become available in the game. 6 to 8 months is pretty common, which I think is still pretty high.
But even if you're a free-to-play or a budget-to-play player, even if you save up everything and you go through the progression and, you know, come back a year later or 2 years later, are you still going to be able to max character, or can you only get him to 4 or 5 shard unless you spend some cash on your orbs?
Eventually, you know, at some stage in the future, 8+ months, a character will become available in a way that you could permanently farm them or get them stronger, get the shards, the star levels that you need on them. It's just that for a very long time, if you miss out on the initial event, that you're often going to be waiting for a long time.
That makes sense. Yeah. Scopely in Star Trek Fleet Command has varied how well a character is available. So every new month or every couple months, we get introduced new Star Trek characters, right? Right now we're going through Deep Space Nine. And so we're getting, you know, Deep Space Nine characters. Now, what Scopely has always done in the past is if they release a new character, they do it through auction events. So you basically got to spend some money in your bracket, a lot of money in some cases, to get that specific character based on the ability. We have only 5 tiers, but they, you know, depending on the level of the character, whether it's a common, uncommon, rare, or epic, you know, it takes a lot to max some of these characters out.
Sorry, are you saying there's a finite number of people who can actually get these new characters?
Correct. It used to be that way. Like a full unlock. So you could get, you know, if you're free to play and you're in a less competitive bracket, it's possible you could earn, let's just say it takes 100 shards to unlock a character. It's not the case with, depending on your level of character, but let's just say it takes 100. if you're not in such a competitive bracket, and it used to be in those auctions, maybe you could get like one or two shards. If you really spent money, the top two guys can get an unlock, like a full unlock. That means you could use the character for whatever it is you want. Other events, you had to wait, you know, till the next auction hits, or you got to wait till when Scopely provides you with events or missions to do where you can gain some of these shards.
Wow. So when you say two people, like out of how many people in that bracket or whatever?
Probably about 300, I guess. Like if that would be I guess that would be a good bracket.
Still a low percentage though for an unlock.
Oh yeah. I mean, again, it depends on what level you are, like what your ops level is. So if you're at a higher ops level right now, if you're in your 50s, there's a lot less competition. So these spend events don't exist anymore. They rearrange the events, so you still have to spend money, but like, yeah, still the amount of people that could get some of these shards are minuscule. But in any case, yeah, I mean, the guys in the chat are, you know, you guys can go back and forth between spending for an event. There's a spend event to get shards versus all the various mini events that you can get. Whereas nowadays, Scopely does this thing where if you just spend like $600 or $800, you could get the character. And then some of them you could spend $600 to $800 and then you could max the character.
That's a lot.
I mean, that's nothing for some of these events.
So are you saying that it's possible that free-to-play won't unlock a new character when they come out?
Correct. Oh, yeah, it happens all the time. You got to wait a couple of... Yeah.
Wow. If that happened in Marvel Strike Force, so that I guess that's something that we have, is that by and large, all of the characters that come out are available to unlock free-to-play. And I think that if they weren't, people would walk away, because I think that's a red line for me personally.
Yeah, I don't. The guys that are chatting, was there a way to get a free Damar and a free Mar and free Garrick?
I don't know if it all adds up to getting an unlock, but even if you do, it'll be tier one.
Right.
So they're not. You get the very basic, but by themselves, they don't really do a whole hell of a lot.
And especially not a tier one. You really need Dukat to kind of do the synergy part with them. Yeah, so yeah, Dragon Keeper from 52 says free would have been hard. Yeah, so you do have to spend money to get these characters. Like you just, and then sometime down the line, Scopely will add them to our what we call our recruit chests, right? So we got like 10 different types of recruit chests, but the main ones are the uncommon recruit chest, the premium, and then the ultra. And so every once in a while, Scopely will add a character to one of these recruit chests, so that you have a, you know, whatever chance to get one shard or something.
Which for the free-to-play route, if you're looking at it, to get ultra recruit tokens, a free-to-play, no money spent, you might be able to get a few chests a week. And out of that, you're lucky to pull maybe one or two shards of that officer, if you're lucky. And like the top tier officers, you're looking at 1,500 shards to max out, roughly. I've spent a lot of money. I've spent enough money to buy a used truck, a nice one. And I've got 5 epic officers out of the, 30 or whatever we have that are maxed out, and the rest of them aren't. I've been playing this game since the motherfucking beginning of the server.
So my question would be, how meta are these new character releases? So for people for free-to-play who don't have them, are they really set back by not having them?
Oh, yeah, you're fucked.
So that's a good question, because remember how you talked about theory crafting in your game, and now it's more about, like, pigeonholing and synergy?
There's a little bit more strategy involved. I think that, every player, as long as you try on the event, you can unlock the characters currently free to play. And even at the bare unlock, they are viable. Most of them are viable. It depends on the character, some more than others. But you can still use them in end game content, even at the bare unlock. So that's, it seems like quite a bit of a difference, because I heard you guys talking about, you know, that maybe like a bare unlock for you guys would not be worth that much.
That's difficult to even talk about though, right? Because I mean, I don't know the dynamics of your, but like, it depends on the officer and it depends on the application. I mean, is it a mining officer? Is it a grinding officer? Is it a PvP officer? Is it a base defense officer? What ship is it on?
sounds like there's much more going on with your game in terms of the viability of a character.
I feel like there's a lot more moving parts. I don't know. I haven't played Strikeforce, but I feel like there's a lot more moving parts over here. And I would, like, for example, we have these new strike teams that came out, and these things are, like, just ridiculously overpowered. Like, multiply the shots that your guns fire by 140% each round cumulatively. So it's, like, ridiculous. You start out with, in my third round, I'm firing off 32 shots, whereas opposed to without that strike team crew, just to put it in perspective, I fire 8 shots on this particular battleship. And so they're astronomically high. So at base tier 1, yeah, they're outrageously effective. But there are some officers that they come out with that are very good officers, but you have to play the long game to make them really, really good. So it depends on the officer is kind of the short answer.
I think what I'm hearing is that the people who do spend or spend a lot, they're almost guaranteed to win. That's kind of what it sounds like.
Sort of, kind of. Unless you catch them with their pants. I'm not going to go into like a whole tutorial. Obviously, we could hold a whole college class on this. Like, you could get a bachelor's degree in how STFC works. But if you, depending upon the ship they have and the crew they have, if you're free to play and you're a similar level, you can sort of catch them unaware. Like, if they were prepared to battle this person, so they set up this particular crew, and you were able to crew your ship to counteract that, then you will win. But if they come out with that, with the correct crew, there's a little bit more back and forth there. And I mean, there, at the end of the day, yes, if you spend a lot of money, you're going to be a much higher ops level. You're going to have bigger ships, better officers and stuff like that. But it's not so cut and dry.
I honestly think there's a threshold here in Strikeforce that there's no point in spending above a certain point. Like, there's a few things maybe you can buy and maybe should buy, but after that, it's like, I don't know, it's probably a waste of money.
Tech, I'm sure you guys already talked. I mean, I'm sure that you guys compared notes on, like, for example, one of the guns on one of my ships, I would have to spend $300 to upgrade one component, and there's like 7 or 8 components for me to be able to tier it up.
Yeah, and there's 12 tiers of most ships.
The money spent, for us, Boylan, there are a lot more aspects than just collecting characters, right? There's base raiding, so you got to go over and hit somebody's base, kill their ships, and take their resources. There's the go out into the galaxy and hit these red hostiles that give me drops, or I need to complete a mission doing that. Or I need to send out some miners to mine resources so I can refine those resources into other resources that I could use to do research, to upgrade my station, my combat skills, my alliance. What's it called? That alliance thing that I don't ever pay attention to. So there's like...
one of the 1,000 things we have to do daily.
Right now, the game has expanded in a way where you have so many things to do. And in order to avoid doing all those things as a free-to-play player, you could spend money in certain areas, or you could just ignore them all together until they get so low that you need to bump it up. Like, for example, we have a ship called the Mantis. It's a pay-to-play ship. You cannot get the ship without paying money. The interesting part about this ship is that it could collect these cards of material that you then use to refine other parts of your gameplay is more beneficial, like getting more shards of certain characters or increasing what's called, like the Orion Syndicate XP, which gives you added bonuses to what you're doing. But at the same time, there are systems with some of these hostiles that are broken. Scopely doesn't give a flying fuck about that, even though this is a pay-to-play ship, and a lot of people have paid money for this ship, which is incredibly frustrating.
It sounds like there's a lot of categories of activities.
You could literally play Star Trek Fleet Command for like 12 hours straight and not complete your events.
Is that as a result of just things being added, over time, every patch or whatever? And things, I guess, not being removed, I guess, from what you can or need to do?
Not that it's being removed.
Because it's all tied together. Everything's tied in.
you still need all that shit. So we have these things called armadas, where you and your alliance mates can bring a ship, and collectively you attack this armada and you get loot that you can exchange for whatever, right? So in the past 6 months, actually call it past year, we've gotten like six more different types of these armadas that you have to run because you have to refine them. You have to refine the loot that you get or utilize the loot for something else. And it has stepped up in a way where now every month there's new categories of things to do. And all your events are tied to these new content things to do. But then if you keep doing that, you neglect everything else that you've got going on in the background. Like, for example, Kirk, he wants to upgrade his, you know, whatever ship. He wants to upgrade that one gun on his ship. But in order to do that, he's got to hunt certain hostiles because he's got to get the parts for those hostiles. He's got to mine certain resources because he needs to refine those resources into, you know, uncommon or epic or whatever components. But then that takes ship slots to do. But at the same time, you got to complete these events for the battle pass. So you're taking away time from that unless you've got the ship slots to go do that thing to complete the battle pass. And then once you're done with that, now you got to go back and you try to do the things that you want to do.
From what I'm hearing, it may in fact be more screen time on this game than what I don't like on Marvel Strike Force.
Bare minimum screen time for me to do just what I focus on. That's not everything. This isn't everything. For me to do my Bajoran shit, for me to do my Actian hostiles for the newer Mantis ship that he was talking about, to grind, do my daily events, that the events themselves that, you know, that are every day, and then the dailies that you have that you collect to collect your loyalty tokens, to collect this little chest of shit at the end of 30 days. To do all these things, it usually runs me about an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending upon if it's a mining event, it might take a little bit longer. And that's just bare minimum per day. That's not doing the other shit, like the STFC players will know, the Borg probes, outlaw, regular faction grinding, doing the Cardassian armadas on occasion that we have to do, now grinding there's all these other things that I choose not to do, and then you're kind of like falling behind there because there's all these different research trees that help you out and that make your ships more powerful.
The kicker is the quality of life to make this game easier and a little more efficient to play. They put them behind a paywall as well.
I mean, I've been playing, I play about 2 to 2.5 hours daily. That's to get all of my stuff done. So it sounds like for you guys that there's even more stuff that like people just choose not to do or don't have time for or whatever.
That's probably about maybe a third to a quarter of the time that you would need to actually complete everything 100% that you want to do during the day.
That's wild. Because you can't just not do things in this game. You kind of have to do everything. But like, yeah, it doesn't take as long as you guys do.
I mean, we do develop some strategies, like certain hostiles where you have to get the special thing to refine them. A lot of people will just spend like Saturday afternoon or Saturday morning, Sunday morning with their cup of coffee, sitting there watching TV, whatever, for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and just sit there and just go and grind and grind and grind and grind and grind and then bank it. And then that way they don't have to fuck with it for another week or two. You know what I mean? So there are some strategies that people do to be able to achieve that. Like I've gotten to the point now, I don't even mine anymore. I don't know about tech or anything. Like the only resources I mine are like this Isogen resource because it's for research. And then also I use it to contribute to the Alliance for our territories. And then I mine Latinum every so often so I can get the free Latinum, and you use the Latinum for like in lieu of speed ups and some resources you can make up the difference. I mean, that's pretty much it. I don't really mine much anymore. So for people who are active miners, I mean, these people are pretty much playing sporadically throughout the day. Like people set timers on their phones to reset their miners and recall them and do this and do that.
That's not including if you really want to go out and just fuck with people. Like that takes time too. That takes time away from actually doing all these activities and then finding somebody's base or finding somebody's ship and just blowing them up.
Yeah, the gameplay has changed to the point where when we first started playing, it didn't take you very long to complete your dailies, you know, maybe 45 minutes to an hour to do your daily events and shit like that. And then the rest of the time, you would go around with your alliance mates looking for somebody with a shield down to steal their resources, or you would do it to grind your faction rep up and do all these other things that were like, you choose to do them, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to, but you choose it because it's the fun part, the fun aspect of the game. And it's gotten to where now it's just, I have to click this button, I have to do this, there's a button here, I gotta click this, I gotta do this, I gotta do this, I gotta do this, and by the time you're done...
We don't have to do everything that's in the game.
No, but what he's talking about is for two to two and a half hours to do everything, to complete all the everything, that'll maybe put a dent in ours.
Boylan, I'm curious, is there anything additional you can do, or once you're done with all that stuff, that's it?
Typically, once you're done, because a lot of it's energy based. So, like, once you're done, you're done. There's no sandbox game mode, I guess, where like you can keep doing, you know, this activity as much as you want. I guess it's like there's a finite amount of things that you can do, and that's probably what keeps the time down. And it sounds like you guys might have some things that you could either do as much as you want, or have a lot of it, or something.
You can literally play 24/7 and get some of it.
As long as you have speed ups in Latinum, yeah.
Oh, no. What he's talking about is something that's like more like Star Trek timelines. You only have a finite amount of energy to do something, right?
Like for example, my raids, and I do these every day. One raid attack or one raid battle is 2.5 hours worth of energy. So I'll do it once in the morning. I can do 5 attacks, and then I come back 12.5 hours later, or at the other end of the day. And I do some more then.
Wait, hold on. I thought Handy played this game.
I played a different Marvel game.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
And the one I played was an MMO. The one he plays is different.
I played Future Revolution as well, actually. I played it for a couple of months because a lot of people thought that it was going to be the killer to Marvel Strike Force, and then it didn't end up being.
I was supposed to be the killer to every game, just like every new game. 90% of people stopped playing after a few months.
Yeah, some big content creators from Marvel Strike Force left here to go do content for Future Revolution, and then that didn't end up panning out, so their channels kind of went bust. Yeah, I tried to educate myself a little bit on Fleet Command. I was watching, I think it was Rev Deuce, and he a video from maybe a couple of days ago. He was talking about screen time, and that's actually what I wanted to look at because I was curious, and I didn't really understand the mechanics too much, but yeah, no, he did. It say that, you know, there was a great deal of that, and I don't know what Scopely is necessarily doing, if anything, to kind of lessen that for you guys or not, but
I think they went the opposite direction. They're like, how can we reduce screen time? You know what's a great way to reduce screen time? Increase screen time.
Well, yeah, we got a new game mode, so that added, I guess, about an extra 30 minutes, and they didn't really reduce it elsewhere. I guess the difference is we're still kind of capped as to what we can do on a daily basis. So once you're done, you're done. Even though they added in the new game mode, you know, it's still only like there's no more than 30 minutes, right? So
can you spend money to gain more energy and then?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, of course. Yeah, you can do that.
Of course, right? Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't stop you from spending. If you want to do more, you can do more. But I mean, why would you? For raids, it would be more like, so there's an alliance of 24 members. The only reason why you might want to spend more on raid energy, for example, would be if your other raid members aren't doing what they should be doing. So you can like make up for them.
Got it. So since this is a more character driven game, how often does Scopely or... What's the company that runs it?
Boundless Entertainment. That's their new name.
How often does Boundless fuck up the characters? And I'll preface this with a caveat in that we've had some very recent examples of Scopely releasing content and they either pulled it or just completely prevented it from working until they figured it out.
A lot. It's been a little bit better recently, but as far as character releases, and they'll have a kit, like the characters do this, and almost always there's something wrong, either mechanically or what it says it's supposed to do doesn't end up working that way in the game. This happens quite regularly. And it's a problem because a lot of people spend money on buying these characters assuming they work a certain way, and they don't end up doing that, or they redact it, or whatever, they change the whole fucking thing. So it can get really frustrating, which is a lot of the reason why I stopped spending, because I can never be guaranteed that that's what I'm getting.
Yeah, okay, so that transcends universes, because we've recently had a character release, and one of the characters was, and I'll talk about Miles O'Brien, but we had numerous examples. So Miles O'Brien was supposed to double, he's got a chance to double your shots, and said in an armada. But apparently, for in Scopely's infinite wisdom, he would work all phases of the game, PvP, you know, hostile grinding, armadas, whatever, and then there would be no limit how many times he would double your shots. So if you say if you had two shots and he procs, the next round you got four shots, next round you got six shots, the next round you got eight shots.
So he was more powerful than described.
Right, and so Scopely was like, no, just fucking nerf him, and now he could only proc three rounds at a time.
Well, is it nerfing or just bringing him back in line to what he should have been originally?
What the description was is he doubles your shots, right? And then he's like, now they changed him. He only doubles your shots for three rounds.
Oh, I see. Okay. So what was, it was a bit of a switcheroo there.
Yeah, they have a history of doing things like that. And there's, they have a problem with wording. So I don't know whoever's doing their text, maybe you know, English is not their strong suit, but the way they word things and then the way that the officer actually functions is completely wrong. And then so one of the big cries is that, and it's legitimate, one of the big cries is that, you know, this officer comes out, it says, I'm going to do A, this is a great officer, so I'm going to drop 150, 200 bucks or whatever it is on it, because I'm going to get this officer tiered up, he's going to be a great officer. And then, you know, a week later, they completely change the way that officer works. So what you've paid for is completely altered. That's like you buying a car from me and I say it's got 400 horsepower. And then in the middle of the night, I show up at your house and tune it down to 200. Well, that's not what you paid for. You paid for a 400 horsepower car, not a 200 horsepower car. And they have a problem doing that. And they've done it. One of our other hosts that's not here, Boom, there was a research pack that says it doubles the rewards you get from killing this one particular hostile. That's all it said. Doubles the rewards you get. And he was like, hell yeah. Well, he started to use it. He's like, it's not doubling my rewards. And so he sends in a ticket and they're like, oh no, that's only if you use this specific ship. And he's like, no, motherfucker, that's not what it says. It says it doubles the drops. It doesn't specify a ship or a time or a date. It just says doubles the drops. So I should be able to use whatever. And I think, Boom went round and round for like a couple weeks with them before they finally would refund him?
Well, I don't even think they refunded him. So what they did is they changed the wording and they try to tell him that, no, this is the wording all along.
Yeah, this happens all the time in Marvel Strike Force. And it's really frustrating actually for people who spend. That's why I don't spend anymore, because I never know what I'm going to get if I do that. So I just kind of wait. And a lot of times we don't even figure out what's wrong with the characters until the spenders buy the character and test them out. We're the beta testers. That's what it's a joke. It's an ongoing joke that, we always find something wrong, but it's not until we actually play with them.
Well, are you and I'll use air quotes, official content creator? Are you endorsed by Scopely or are you independent?
No, none of us are ever endorsed by them. They have the Envoy program, which is a content creator program. I was previously a part of that for 9 months. And then I'll say it, you know, I guess I accidentally broke the NDA on something. And I, instead of discussing this with me, they just decided to toss me out right away.
Okay, I was just curious, because obviously on ours we do have endorsed content creators.
Do they have things that they can and can't say? Like, is that how structured is it for them?
Well, kind of. I think we interviewed, and Tech would remember better. Tech's brain's like a steel trap, so he'd remember. But like, we had a Ultimate DJ. DJ's a good friend of ours. He's basically their official sort of, you know, like the content creator, right? And he's got all the information and everything like that. So there is certain information he can't release. And he's told us that there's it's not that he can't say certain things, but obviously they just want it to be more of a PG kind of atmosphere. But I will say that he on several occasions, he has gone off on these people and been like, what is your problem? This is ridiculous. So he's not like, what am I looking for? He's not kissing ass, right? He's not up there like brown nosing. Like he's not a company man, right? So he's up there giving his honest opinion and stuff like that. But I do believe that there are certain things that, and we've talked about it with him, there are certain things that he may want to word a certain way, but he has to sort of watch, you know, how he words things. But he's still able to get his point across. So I do think that's pretty cool.
Still under NDA. So there's multiple people that are part of this group, and even they have this player council or whatever the hell that is. They're also under NDA, and they can't reveal content before it's out. But that doesn't prevent them from, you know, starting a riot on, say, their Discord server.
Marvel Strike Force content creators in the program, they can trash talk, you know, Scopely or Boundless or the game or whatever. So they can do that. What happened with me was that there was a character that was coming out. It was not yet to be revealed that she was a 4-star character instead of a 5-star. She's a legendary character, Morgan Le Fay. And most people were assumed that she was going to be 5-star, and it turns out that she was going to be a 4-star, so making it a little bit easier. I had said something in what I thought was confidence, I guess. I probably know I shouldn't have done that. I signed an NDA. My mistake. You know, it was like two other people, and that one person posted on Reddit about it. And that went out, and it spread like wildfire. And instead of having any conversation with me, they just decided to boot me then and there. So, yes, I did break something. But other people have, you know, broken it before in the past doing other things, and I didn't really get the same level of respect, I guess.
Benefit of the doubt, I guess. So you were telling me way back when that your channel is now more popular now than it was before when you were, quote, official. Why is that?
Because being part of the program gets you almost nothing. You get a couple of fancy images for your thumbnails for YouTube or wherever, and you get sometimes a couple days early access to patch information, and that's really about it.
Okay, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, DJs and other people know what's going to happen, like the next arc or, you know, whatever, like a week in advance or however long in advance. But obviously they can't talk about it. You know, part of his show is he drops the hints about what happens. But, you know, the guy actually does a lot of work behind the scenes because he communicates with the, you know, the live ops team and say, hey, guys, this is the complaints we're seeing. What is going on? What can you tell us about it? Is there a fix coming? So he does a lot of interaction that we don't have to do, because anytime I think nowadays that Scopely releases content, there's just a collective groan, and then people spend a bunch of money to get that content, the new content, and then try it out and see how broken it is or not broken or overpowered or something, and then all of a sudden, without really consulting anybody, Scopely just makes a fix.
I mean, that's how the content creator program is supposed to work for Marvel Strike Force, where, you know, we're community leaders. You know, we are supposed to communicate the problems of the game and bugs and other things like that to them. And then hopefully they take that on board and correct it, whether if it's a bug, especially. And more, it ended up being just a bug report tool for us. And then even then, they wouldn't go and fix it. So it's free labor for Scopely that we don't get paid to do, or not me anymore, but them who's still left in there. And as a result of being outside of it, now I have more free time for myself and my channel and my Discord channel and whatnot to do my own stuff. And that's why I'm doing better now than when I was in it.
Yeah, you are. I was just kind of looking there, man. You know, what would be your rough over and under on the player base that you have, active player base
in the game?
In the game, yeah.
It's gone down in the last 9 months. That's related to issues with the game and events and stuff that's just kind of become less player friendly. I would say 250k.
I think our last estimate for our game was what, maybe somewhere a little over 100,000 or something like that. I can't remember.
We used to be well over 300, and I think maybe closer to 350 even during COVID. I think more people were playing in 2020, And then between spring of this year to now, I think it's dropped probably about 50-60k. So there's been a lot of changes in the way that the events are structured and the types of characters. And I'm not 100% sure. I definitely don't think that people are really happy with you know, how that's playing out. And this is the first year of them doing this structure or this style in 2022. And so we'll see. They basically have like five legendary characters for the full year. And this is going to culminate in, if you guys know Marvel at all, Apocalypse in about March. So Apocalypse, the big bad baddie, he's got four horsemen, and those are the big releases of this year. And they're probably going to repeat it again next year with a different character, maybe like Galactus or something like that, and do four big baddies. And so I just don't think that the way it's been so far that people are 100% on board with this.
Have they tried to, because you're active, does it seem like at any point that it, what's the best way to ask this question? We were talking about it the other night. It seems like sometimes they release content for our game and they notice that it maybe that content is a little more popular, whether it be an officer, a ship, a type of resource, whatever. And then seemingly it becomes a little bit harder to get that resource.
Well, for us, it's, I guess I would break down the resources into the characters, the character shards, the gear, and in this case, it's the highest gear tier level, gear tier 17. So that's very scarce right now, very hard to get, which forces people to buy offers if they want to get ahead on that. That's probably about it. Yeah, gear and character shards. That's primarily. But when they release new characters, you can like hoard, you know, lots of previous resources to then quickly upgrade those characters to as high as you need to get them to, as long as you have that.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
So maybe the necessity to spend is a bit lower because people have been able to hoard over time the amount of resources that they need to build the characters when they come out. So, things are, like I said, I don't spend too much money, but if you really want to be on the top of the top, the costs are going to be high because each character has like six items per gear tier and you need to equip all six of them to get to the next gear tier. And since 17 is the highest, like, gear tier 17 has been out since July or August, I think, and I have like four characters in like 5 months. So if I want to spend though to get one extra character, we're probably talking like over $1,000.
How much this is another question I'm sure that a lot of people in the audience are going to want to hear. How much do you think the highest players have spent to date on the game?
I'm not sure about to date, but I think that there's a lot of big Kraken Cthulhus who spend like six digits annually.
Okay.
That's not to be competitive. That's just like to be literally like top 20, top 50 kind of players, probably.
It sounds very similar to ours. I mean, we've definitely got people that have spent, what would you say, Handy, maybe $300,000-$400,000 or Tech, whichever one.
We've definitely had a lot of big spenders.
We have somebody on our server. Somebody on our server personally. I'm not going to throw them under the bus, but somebody on our server personally, I know, has spent probably at least $20,000 to $30,000 in the past month.
I think what feels really good for me is someone who, I don't know, I don't think I spent any more than $200 this year, is that I can still be pretty competitive in the game despite that. And maybe that's because I'm good at resource management, and part of my channel is guiding other players to how to be the best that they can be with, you know, with less resources, and where to use them and how to manage it properly so that you don't need to spend if you don't want to get ahead, whether it's in an event or for a character or whatever. And, you know, if you're managing your stuff properly, then you don't need to spend that much. And if you're a veteran player, you probably already have a lot of this stuff that other people, newer players, might not. So therefore, you don't need to spend as much to stay ahead. You're not going to be top of the top, but you can still be pretty competitive even if you don't spend, which I guess is good, of course.
The Tech, do you want to let anybody come up to ask any questions or anything like that?
Yeah, we've got a couple people that are here.
Ark has had his hand up, I think, the longest, I think. So.
Yeah, I'll bring them both up to the stage. Hey, Ark, how you doing?
Good, how you doing? Sounds like the two things are pretty much identical. I know for a fact I'm level 52, probably, you know, just recently level 52, but I've been doing some working out over the last couple
Ark, you're fading out on us, buddy.
Am I breaking up?
Yeah, you're cutting out pretty bad, but let's see.
So as I'm level 52, recent level 52, to do everything in the game, all the mechanics, the Borg, my hostile grinding, my rep grinding, it takes me about between 4 hours and 4 hours and 45 minutes to be able to complete all of the free to play paths to level up. So yeah, I mean, the time in the game is ridiculous right now, and I think Scopely, the way that they're intending their content to come out is basically they want people to level up fast, but they it's like they really don't want to give you the stuff to do it, but they want you to. I mean, they're pretty much forcing you to spend money to level up fairly fast.
Yeah, I would agree. They encourage you to level up, but then they dangle that little peanut in front of you. Well, you know, if you spend a couple $100 on this pack,
they really need people to level. I mean, they really need people to level up, but then it's kind of like, yeah, but we don't want to give you the stuff to do it, you know? And, you know, for free to play, I mean, that's the only way they're going to get it to come out with all the new content. They're just flooding it with new stuff. And then they come up with that excuse. Oh, we don't have time to go back and fix this, you know, or I mean, take Mantis space, for instance, over the last month on our server on 34. I mean, most of the lower level systems have been inoperable to be able to grind Mantis parts, you know, Mantis loot, you know, to do all the mechanics.
Yeah, I just dropped $50 this morning on that Prime Harvester pack just so I could speed up so I'm not sitting there for two fucking hours.
Right, exactly, and that's what they're hoping people are going to do. But then, you know, later on they come back and say, well, you know, it's not going to be as effective as it used to be, you know, because they're going to bring out something other that's going to supersede it, and they're expecting you to think, they're not expecting you to remember you bought that pack, and guess what? They're expecting you to spend another $50 in the future. You know, it's kind of weird right now.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you have a question for Boylan at all?
Well, not really. I mean, Marvel doesn't. The only question I got is do you think that them buying the rights to be able to put out the Marvel is what's keeping them going? I mean, like Star Trek right now, you know. If they didn't have the Star Trek name, I don't think Star Trek Fleet Command would be half as popular as it was when they did that. You know, than they would be.
Oh, absolutely. I think that I don't know about your game, but you know, I think that they probably spend more money to get the IP rights for Marvel than they do for Star Trek. I've noticed that Star Trek Fleet Command has, you know, like actors on their ads, and there's not even a single person from any of the Marvel franchises. Now, I don't know if this has something to do with Marvel, if they're unable to do that with their actors or anything, but if they can, or Star Trek actors, or perhaps you could pay them less, you know, it's going to cost a lot less to get them on. But if you were to strip away the Marvel IP from this game, it would be a buggy mess of like, I don't know what you could take a random game, you know, that doesn't have an IP. And it would basically be that just worse because, you know, once you remove the skin, it's there's not much keeping people around. Probably, you know, if you didn't have the Marvel characters, there would be less imperative for them to like go out and buy these characters because they won't know who they are.
And that's shocking, isn't it? The IP is basically keeping it. Which is basically keeping their money coming in, right? I mean, it's shocking. Without that IP, you know, they would actually be nothing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've looked at the numbers for Sensor Tower at that. Marvel Strike Force does put out a lot of money for Scopely, and I know that for the amount of players that are in Star Trek, though, there is a lot of high spenders in Star Trek, despite the lower player numbers that it seems like compared to Marvel Strike Force.
That's the best marketing strategy. You find what someone likes and you slap that label on something. And of course, those of us who are diehard Star Trek fans, which most people who are playing this game are Star Trek fans in some way, shape, or form, whether we're hardcore Trekkies like those of us, like myself and Tech, and like somebody will quote a particular episode and then one of the other of us can go like, oh yeah, episode fucking 12 from season 3 of the original series. Like, you know, whether you have that or just sort of passive fans who do enjoy the Star Trek universe, it's just like anything. When you are into that universe, you're always craving some new experience within that universe because you like it. You like the idea behind it. You like the how that universe is constructed, and you're a fan of that. So if you slap a label on something, you could pretty much do anything with it. And those fans, those hardcore fans, are definitely going to come because they just want to be part of that fandom, right? Like, they want to be a part of that universe. They want to experience it in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, they can't crank out enough episodes fast enough for us to consume. And so that's the way it is. And Trek fans are definitely hardcore, just like Marvel fans are definitely hardcore. So it's a really good business model. Let me secure the rights to this, and then I'm just going to slap some shit together, and these motherfuckers are going to come running.
Butts, you had your hand up. How's it going today?
I actually have. I would like to know about comparing the other game to SDFC about free to play. What do you think is your percentage of content that you can do in that, you know, when it's new, first month out? What is the content that is available to free to play? What is the content that you have to pay for? I know with SDFC 3 years ago, in my opinion, it probably was one feature per month and maybe a couple of events, whether they be leaderboards or SMSs, that you really couldn't compete in as a free to play. And now it seems like half or more of all of the new month's content is not available to free to play, not available free to play for several months later. And it seems to me that we're getting almost to the parity of half the events and leaderboards and whatnot are just unattainable by free to play. And it just seems like they're pushing more and more and more to you've got to pay to play. So my question is how does that compare to the Marvel game?
Just to get some more information maybe from everyone, when you say that free-to-play can't participate in it, does that mean like the event is locked from them engaging because...
Sometimes the event is straight up locked, and that has been happening over more and more over the past couple of months, maybe 6 months. But
hold on, Putz, let me pause you right there. Are you talking about locked as in like you have to have this special ship that you had to pay for to be able to unlock that event?
Right. Like you have to have this to compete, or you have to be collecting this that's in a system that you can't get to, or, you know, it is just like if you don't have something and the only way to get it is to pay for it, you can't actually participate in the event.
Okay, so it could be like hard blocked. In Marvel Strike Force, there is none of that. So if you're free to play, you can compete 100% in everything, in all the events. Now, whether or not you're going to get all of the resources or all the rewards that are attached to said event, that's a different story. So some of them are what I call whale milestones. So you're only going to get maybe 60% free to play of the total rewards, and the rest of it is locked behind some degree of paying for it. You know, whether it's directly spending to get progress in the event, or the characters that are required to do that. So there's some things up in the air for that. But by and large, that, you know, you can unlock new characters free to play, and you can participate in the events. One thing that might prevent you from getting further progress would be like if you're a new player, like if you just started like within the first month, you just might not have the characters available to do the events. Because certain events require you to use certain characters and you might not have them yet because you haven't played long enough to unlock them, or are high enough profile level, or we call it commander level, like 90 is the cap. So if you haven't played long enough to get those level ups, then, you know, you're not going to be strong enough to do some things. But for everyone else, for most, you know, mid-game players, end-game players, yeah, free-to-play can 100% do everything.
If it's like STFC, which I'm willing to bet that it is, I'm willing to wager, for our events, there's usually a four-tier system. So you get the first tier, you get a little bit. You get the second tier, you get more. The third tier, you get more. But the final tier, you get the same amount as the first three tiers combined.
I don't know if it would be that stark, but yeah, there are definitely that kind of element.
Because like for us, it would be like you would get two, whatever it is. I'm just going to use a number. Use two for when you complete the first tier of it. Then you get four for the next tier, and then you would get six for the next tier, but then you would get 12 for the tier after that.
I mean, as someone who does a lot of numbers in my channel and in my videos, there are definitely, you know, a lot of stuff up for grabs that only whales or krakens can get. But I wouldn't say that it's debilitating, that if you don't get it, you're going to... there is FOMO, of course. That's how they get you. But, you know, I don't think it's that bad. And that's why I don't spend, because I don't think I need it.
I have one other question.
Wait, hold on. Before we get there, did you say kraken?
Yeah, with the whales, krakens, and Cthulhu's. That's how it goes up.
I feel like we should adopt this.
We definitely should.
Whales are like, let's say, a couple $100 a month, and then krakens are like $1,000.
If you're ops 50 to 54, you're a whale. If you're ops 55 to 59, you're a kraken, and then Cthulhu is 60. Boom. It's happening.
Cthulhu's are the 6-digit-a-year kind of spenders.
That basically means who we call dolphins, they call...
Yeah.
I would say dolphins like $100 a month, whales like 300 to 500, and then like krakens like 1,000 plus a month.
Well, multiply that by 10, and that's where we're at.
Yeah. I was going to say, our dolphins are definitely more than $100 a month. I guarantee you that.
Go ahead, Puts. I'm sorry.
My other question was, do you have in your game basically hard problems with grasping, you know, the English language? I give you an example. We have three different what we call mitigation stats. And sometimes the cards, the description of the officers will say, decrease all mitigation by X. And then sometimes it'll say, decrease this mitigation, that mitigation, this mitigation, and they'll name them all by the same thing. Sometimes they'll say, oh, we're going to increase the damage, but then sometimes it'll say the base damage. And just to try to figure out what the heck they're trying to say, and there is no rhyme or reason on any standard of, at least in our game, do you have that issues popping up where you think a card is going to do one thing and then it's actually not doing what you think it is?
I mean, I think the bigger problem in this game is that newer characters are increasingly having bigger and more complicated kits. So, for example, there's Dormammu. He was a really big legendary character. And if you go to one of his skills, it feels like an essay. Like, I literally have to spend like a couple seconds just scrolling down the text because there's so much text. So the more text there is, the bigger chance that it's going to be wrong or fucked up. And it's not going to work as it states. And because it's normally bullet point by bullet point by bullet point, and that's kind of how the skill works. And so the way that it's programmed, I guess, like if it's not, if everything's not cohesive, then it's just going to break down. And that's why I'm afraid of all these newer characters with huge, huge text, because I'm like, oh my God, something's going to be wrong. So I don't know if that helped to answer it, but things are getting more and more complicated. And then when one thing breaks down, the character just kind of falls apart.
That sounds familiar.
Well, for our game, we used to have very general kind of descriptions for our officers because a lot of our officers used to be multi-purpose. But now, with everybody kind of understanding the meta of what officer crews are best to use for what, Scopely is releasing newer officers that are highly specialized. Like, for example, the new strike team crew that we just had released, it increases damage to kinetic weapons on an interceptor
when fighting players
as an officer. When defending opposing players on a Tuesday in a bunker only in the system. No, that's obviously made up. But I mean, it gets very specific in terms of like what this officer is really, really used for. So if you put him on a different ship that's not an interceptor, that person doesn't do anything. Nothing procs. Nothing works.
A lot of these new officers are getting definitely one-trick ponies.
Like specific game modes, or I don't know if it's considered a game mode for you guys, but like one area of the game?
PvP, and then they've changed old officers. We had this combo that we would use to grind hostiles, Pike, Moreau, Chin. Everybody knows where I'm going with this if they're playing STFC. They used to be Pike, Moreau, and Chin. It didn't matter. You could use it on any hostile that had a lot of energy weapon damage, and it would mitigate so much of it. You could just sit there and grind all day. Then they came out with new shit, and they were like, oh, by the way, actually, Chin will no longer work on any hostile that's over level 51. And you're like, what the fuck? Why did you change that? Well, because we are going to have new officers that are going to come out, and we want you to have those officers because we can't have you doing this because it works too good. So they even retroactively start changing certain shit. They had an unintended issue where the Cardassian Armada's tech, you know, where they had we had one officer that was like, people kind of used her a little bit, but what they did was they had these armadas that had special abilities, and they would eventually, every shot they were throwing at you was critical damage. Well, you had this one officer that if everybody used this officer, it would pretty much negate that damage to zero. So you're pretty much winning every armada, regardless of level, as long as everybody was using the right officers. And then they were like, whoa, actually, we're going to completely make that officer not work until we can figure out what's going on. And then so when they reactivated the officer, they changed all the other armadas. Because it was simple. It's simple shit. Simple, you know, hey, let's look back and make sure we're not going to have any stuff. Let's do a little research on what's out already. And they didn't do their homework on their own fucking game.
Are you saying that there were characters that were potentially nerfed later down the line?
No, so what happened was there's a common character that everybody had that its officer ability is like minus 25 or minus 20% reduction of critical hits. And if you use five people, that's 100% reduction of critical hits. And the armada, after a certain round, was just hitting criticals. You had 100% negate versus 100% crits. So after a certain round, if you can get past that round, the armada was throwing zero damage at you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was literally confetti at that point. And so, like Tech was saying, as long as you lasted out, you know, five, six, seven rounds, you got to the point where every crit was a critical hit. This particular officer, Gayla, she was negating all the damage, all of it. Nobody was getting any damage. And so you just kind of rode it out and shot at the station until it blew up, and then there you go. Then you get your rewards. And they realized that, and they were like, whoa, hold on a minute.
Yeah, so Scopely was like, oh my god, everybody's beating all these armadas, and they're not going to buy our new shit. So they completely removed her ability from the game for a day. And then they're like, we're going to figure this out. We'll get back to you later.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's basic shit. It's, you know, we're going to release this new content. Let's make sure and test this with old officers and shit like that. Let's make sure that we do the homework and make sure that none of the old shit's going to affect the new shit. And of course, they didn't. And we are, you said it earlier, like, we are the beta testers.
Do you guys have huge issues with quality assurance or QA testing before things go out?
Oh, shit. Nothing works. Nothing works. I think the last arc, and somebody feel free to correct me on this, the last arc that I remember working well, and I use the term well in air quotes because there were still a couple issues, was the Borg arc. And that shit happened like 3 years ago. And they even still had issues because that was the first time I remember it. It was the first time I spent more than $10 on the game because I bought the Vidar up front. And it was $50. And it was supposed to, when you get the ship, when you unlock the ship, it unlocks a daily token redeem where you can get two of these warp tokens to go to a special system. Can't go there otherwise. And so when you unlock the ship and you build the ship, it's supposed to unlock your daily reward for that so you can go ahead and start, you know, grinding these hostiles and doing the events. For a week, those of us who bought the $100 pack were not able to access those warp tokens. And as a sorry, they gave you like $5 worth of shit in a gift chest. But otherwise, the officers, as far as I can remember, the officers worked, the events went pretty decent, it was a good arc. But that was at a time when they weren't churning out story arcs every month. Every month, we're getting a new ship, new part of space, or new officers, new shit to kill. And so it's every month. And so we talked about this with DJs. We had a long discussion about this. What they've done in our game, at least, is that they've sort of backed themselves into a corner by allowing everyone to expect new shit every month. If you're releasing new stuff every month, that's like 12 things a year. What kind of time do you have to test these new mechanics? Because you're having to introduce new things into the game. So you don't have enough time to test how well, let me warp here and click around the system and make sure nothing's going to be bugged, or let me use this new officer for this thing and see how it's going to do. They don't have the time to do that because they've already gotten us to the point collectively as a game, the gaming community, to where we expect new shit every month. We want new things, bright and shiny. And the problem that we have is that we're sitting here bitching on this podcast stage, yet many of us, myself included, to a degree, are still spending money on this game at the same time we're crying about it. So for them, there's not really much incentive to change their business model.
Well, that's the same thing over here. That's what people would normally say, right? You know, if you want to really hit them where it hurts, then you stop spending. Yet every time that the content creator, well, from time to time, the content creators have pushed for a spending strike of some degree. A lot of us are addicted. Let's just put it that way. And we still continue to spend or whatever it is. And not necessarily myself, but, you know, other big alliances in Marvel Strike Force, they'll still spend even though they've agreed to a spending strike. And that's why it just never works, because those people are always going to spend. So it's really hard to, like, as a community, to sort of do those kind of things. There was a semi-successful one in the past in 2020, I think. And then that resulted in some changes to the game, quality of life, things and things like that. But yeah, by and large, calling for a spending strike doesn't normally work, because the people who are on YouTube or on Reddit are only a fraction of the community. And there's a lot of people who play the game who just don't, you know, engage in these kind of things, right? So they don't see the spending strike. They don't know about it, right? Or anything like that. So.
Right. Yeah, that's the whole idea. I know there've been a couple times where they've called for spending strikes. And some people will, but the problem is it's never the people who are spending the most money for the most part.
That's the fandom part of it, though, isn't it?
So what is that, Art?
I said that's the fandom part of it, is because they're fans of Star Trek. They don't want to give up the game, but they still want to progress. And they still want to beat everybody else. That's the community part of the game, instead of it being a game for, you know, a new concept. You know, so people will buy station packs to upgrade the station, or ship packs to upgrade the ships, just to play the game with other people. But they don't want to quit, because, you know, it's like, hey, why would I hold myself back, is what people are saying.
That's a good point, which leads me into my next question. How healthy is the server, is the community base? As far as, on a scale from we get along to fuck that guy, you know what I mean? Like, how is that? I mean, do people, you know, I don't know how competitive it is between you and other people, but on our game, we are competing with the other people day in and day out for the most part. And there's PvP and we're blowing up each other's ships and all these other things. So I don't know how that would translate to what you're playing, what you're doing.
We'll answer that. My dog is kind of going crazy outside barking at a FedEx vehicle. So I think I need to pull him in so I can get back to that in 30 seconds.
That's fine. I'll just sit here and drone on for a second. So you're done for us. I'll go ahead and well, Quentin Tarantino, we'll visit the end and then we'll go back to the beginning when you're ready. But for us,
before we get into that, it'd be interesting to know, are there multiple servers in Marvel Strike Force? I'm assuming there have to be, because it's a much more popular game. And then within that server, what the competitive nature is like in that server, and do they have cross server events like we do?
Because our server has a great model for that, is because Dark and Colt now, it used to be known. I mean, we have a rivalry, but it's not really a war rivalry, but it's more of a competitive. You know, we raid your bases, you come raid ours. You know, I mean, if there was a spending stop, I mean, I know quite a few of the higher Darker members. They spend money just to keep the Alliance number one. And I'm assuming that you guys have those kind of players too, is where they just try to keep it at number one. And we don't want you to take it, and you really want to take it from us, but, you know, these people are not going to stop spending because the first Alliance that does start spending again is, you know, they're going to take the number one spot.
We haven't cared about number one.
Sorry, I am back. I was hearing it while you guys were, I had my headset on so I could listen to that while I was running around. if I can go back to number one, I guess it was about the community. And there are, yeah, I mean, there's some content. We have quite a few content creators. We probably have about 10 that would be, I guess, what you would call known. That like if you're pretty heavy into the game, like, yeah, most people would know these top 10. And then some of them, a lot of them are in the Envoy program, which is what I suggested earlier. And there's a few of us who are not. Some have left or for whatever reason. But there are a few that are divisive that don't necessarily get along with the others for one reason or another. There's one in particular who basically every other video like insults other content creators, which is not good, not very friendly, that kind of stuff that I've had issues, of course, in the past, and so have many others. But by, I would say most, like 75% of the community, the content creators are friendly with each other. And we do collaborations from time to time, things like that. And the community itself is pretty good. You know, like Reddit's kind of toxic. I think Reddit's normally kind of toxic, but Marvel Strike Force Reddit is pretty toxic. So I mostly stick to my my Discord channel. I have about maybe 5,000 community members. I don't know if they're not all engaging, but my channel anyways, for my channel, has about 5,000 people in it. So I mostly stick to that personally.
I think that's what I was referencing. I was talking about, because I don't know what you can actually, like, for me, if I don't like you in the game, I can go blow up your ships.
Yep, that's not really a thing. That's not a thing in Marvel Strike Force, so...
I would imagine there's a lot more toxicity on our end because we can actually, you know, you spend money on resources. I can take those resources.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's totally not a thing. And I heard about you guys talking about servers and things like that. We just have one collective server. We don't have separate servers or anything like that. So I guess I'm not really sure what you're, we just have every all 250K or whoever, however many players, they're just, we're all together, I guess. We do have a separation for one game mode. It's called Arena, and that's where you get your premium currency, Power Cores. That's a daily payout, and there are 5,000 people in that. So that is the only thing that's kind of separated out. You get put into an Arena Shard when you get to level 20 in the game, when you unlock the game mode, and then you're thrown into an Arena Shard. And then it fills up at 5,000 players or something, and then, you know, then another one gets created when more new players show up. Other than that, everyone is pretty much in the same wider grouping, if that makes sense.
I think that kind of answers most of the questions there, Tech. What do you think? I mean, because they don't really have an opportunity to physically, like, to actually, not just physically fight, but, you know, fight each other in the server, right? Like, they can't go blow each other's ship up.
You can go around griefing people.
I mean, you could troll people like a motherfucker.
I alluded to this earlier. So the game is more like Star Trek Timelines more than Star Trek Fleet Command, but scopely owned lines, if you will. And yeah. So it's you know, it's nice to know that we're not the only ones getting fucked by scopely, and that Marvel Strike Force and what are the other things that DT posted? Marvel Strike Force, Scrabble Go, WWE Champions, Yahtzee, and Looney Tunes are probably getting fucked the same way. Then, Boylan, you were telling me that they got a new property, right? Stumble Guys?
Yeah, that's the Fall Guys ripoff, and it's actually doing better than Fall Guys. In fact, I have it on my phone. It's shockingly slightly better than Fall Guys because it has less players, so you don't have to wait as long to queue up into a match if you guys have played Fall Guys or anything like that. When I saw it, I was gobsmacked because it was literally the same game with a pretty identical title, and I was like, wow, okay.
I guess we'll wait on that lawsuit, huh?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, it feels like mobile games are like the Wild West, so I like anything's possible. You know, I've seen games that like blatantly rip off, like, I don't know, Dragon Ball or some other crap. You know, the, like, pre-existing IPs.
There's one on the App Store right now. It's called Spartan Combat. It's a blatant rip off of Halo.
And like, I've seen Pokemon, like things that look like, I don't know, monster collectors, but it's like a blatant model ripoff of Pokemon. Like, it's crazy what kind of games that actually exist out there. Most of them are Chinese companies, though, for these kind of ripoff ones. But yeah, it's wild. One question that I have for you guys actually would be the monetization. But do you guys have a web store for Scopely for Star Trek Fleet Command? And how new is it for you guys?
So it's been about a year, right? And has it been longer than that?
A year? No, you're talking, no, the web store, not the app store where you buy stuff. It's been recent. It's only been like 2 months.
It's definitely been more than that, because I remember when they were pushing to get Scopely IDs, and that was quite a while ago.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, was the IDs.
It's when the next generation came out. That's when they bring in the web store.
I will say that the web store is good for us as the players, because you go and you spend the same amount of money, but then you get in-game currency that you can then use for other mini packs that you can get more shit. And it is actually pretty beneficial. So, like, for example, if I spend $100 or whatever, let's say I spend $100 and I get the 56,000 multi-phasics or whatever it is. I can't remember what it is. It's a lot. And I can essentially go in and pick and choose how many, like, which of these mini packs I want. And I can sort of kind of like a la carte, right? And I can pick these things, and it gives me, I don't know, I'm not the best, I don't math well, right? But I would say somewhere around maybe 15, 20%, maybe a little bit more, like if I spend $100. And so in addition to what I bought, I can then go get something completely different if I need a little twos and fews here and there. So it is super beneficial. For us as players, because it stretches your dollar a lot further if you're going to spend money. And you can even just kind of bank the multi-phase credits. And then if an event comes along, like we can get this Syndicate XP and there's these certain events, you can just dump all that into your Syndicate XP little miniature packs, and it helps you out. So that's kind of a good, it's like they did the whole thing so they could get more money because Apple was keeping the 30% or whatever it was. So they did it to make more money, but the byproduct of it was us being able to get more shit. So it was pretty beneficial for us.
Now they're selling the more than $100 packs in the web store, because you can buy that $200 pack in the web store.
Yeah.
And if you didn't notice the Golden Cup pack to buy the stuff to pull the officers shards, that's unlimited right now. So if somebody wanted to spend, say, $100,000 on that one pack, you know, unless the limits to the web store come into place, you're more than welcome to max out Gold to Cut. So
my follow-up question on that one would be, are there any connection to the web store to events, ongoing events, where you are required to go to the web store to click on things or whatever that integrate with the game?
No, I mean, there's certain bonuses, but...
There's only one. There's a little bit of research that requires metaphasics, if you want to do the research.
Yeah, but how high ops do you have to be to have metaphasics?
Well, you just need to have that certain metaphasics for that galaxy research, remember? So, which basically only increases your XP for ships right now, but I'm assuming the amount of people that would get that done, especially with the higher level ships, for more of the XP, then...
Let's put it this way. You have to spend a boatload of money in order for those metaphasics that you get from the web store to actually matter right now.
So for us, we have events ongoing that it's required for you to go to the web store. There are rewards or milestones that are specifically on the web where you'll do something in the game and you'll get progress for it on the web store or through a web milestone. And if you don't collect these things on the web store, then you might not unlock a new character. So they're pushing the Scopely ID, logging into the web store every single day to check your progress on things for you to get more in-game rewards. And it sounds like they're pushing that a lot harder here, where, like, if you don't do this, then you're in trouble.
Well, the thing is, the multi-phasics right now are, like Kirk was saying, are very useful because it gives you back a percentage of the money that you spend, that you could spend on something else, which is very useful.
Yeah, this isn't paid stuff that I'm talking about. It's like completely free to play activity that you're doing in the game. And then to claim the rewards, you have to go online to like click some buttons and claim them.
So the only thing that Scopely did is that they had a gift chest that if you have a Scopely ID, they gave you a pretty nice gift chest.
We just did that. We just had that, actually. It was 5,000 power cores if you signed up for a Scopely ID, which is equivalent to about, I think, 60 or 70 US dollars. Which is quite a lot. But the thing is that they screwed up the rollout where you didn't actually have to sign up for a Scopely ID. You just had to click on a button on the web store without using a Scopely ID. That was what their original intention was, but they screwed up the rollout. So
that's funny.
But they're really pushing the Scopely ID, and I think they're removing other, because you used to be able to log in onto the web store with Google Play and Facebook, I think, to connect your account. But I think they're slowly removing some of these in exchange for the Scopely ID.
Yeah, with the Scopely ID, there's only one thing that you can get. That's like a free gift, like a web gift. And that gives you one shard of one character a day.
Is it random or?
Yeah, that's not, yeah.
I think it rotates through about four or five different officers.
It's a pool of officers, but yeah, you can't choose which one. It's just kind of whichever one you get is what you get.
So there's some incentive, just not a ton at this time?
Not really. I mean, so if you have in our game, maybe it's the same in yours. If you get an officer shard that you already have maxed out, if they're rare or uncommon, you get transporter patterns. And once you get up enough transporter patterns, they have select officers in the recruit tab that you can go and specifically get shards of that officer. So if you had, I was going to say that. I mean, it's just generally pretty common. So it's just another resources that you can get to start. Okay, well, this particular officer, I want to get this one maxed out. I want to get this one maxed out. I want to get this one maxed out. So that's what they do. If you end up pulling shards that you already have, it's not all for naught, right? You get credit towards another officer.
Yours sounds pretty. It sounds better because our access shop, is really poor. Like nobody uses it, so it's really not that good. So yours sounds maybe that you might get a little bit more out of it than I do.
Here's a question from somebody, Boylan, and it asks about: do you have spend events like where that encourages your progression, and if you don't spend, then you could get held back until the next event
arises? So the closest thing to a spend event would probably be events that require spending power cores. Power cores are the premium currency that you can get directly through spending, packs for that. And there are events where it's strictly like, okay, spend this amount of power cores to get these rewards. Now, power cores you can save because they are premium currency that you get daily as a payout. So if you're someone like me who does really well every day, then I'll have a good chunk of them. I can decide whether or not I want to engage in that event or not. It might not be worth the resources that I get for spending the power cores. But yeah, those are probably the biggest example of spending events would be anything involving power cores or premium currency.
Does anybody else in the audience have any questions, things they want to bring up? Just throwing it out there just in case.
Yeah. How are your dogs doing, Boylan?
He probably needs to go out for a walk soon. That's why. But yeah, I let him outside for a little bit, and then some FedEx truck came by, and he starts barking at it. But yeah, no, I mean, it seems like when it comes to the way that Scopely operates, it's probably they're at least in Marvel Strike Force are probably moving to something similar because Fleet Commands has been run by Scopely longer than we have, and I think more and more as the months go on, we're starting to see things from other games show up in ours. So we had a clue system in this event. Someone told me that was in Fleet Command, where there was things that you had to do once a day that was just like one random thing from a different part of the game where you would, you get a clue and then you have to go and do that.
Oh, yeah, the espionage events. Yeah, that's a Scopely thing, yeah.
So that just popped up this event for Spider-Man Noir, and it was pretty easy. And I guess it was kind of fun. But I mean, it was, yeah, I heard that this happened in Star Trek Fleet Command. So I think they might be trying to implement other things from other games that work for them or makes money for them into our game.
How long has Scopely been in charge of this?
Spring 2022. Oh, sorry, 2020.
Okay.
Yeah, about two years and a bit.
And the game's been out how long?
2018 spring. So it's almost up on its fifth year, I guess.
So. Was the game better or worse before Scopely got a hold of it? It's the ultimate question.
Yeah, I mean, probably better. Well, it better from a free-to-play perspective. It was much more easier to stay ahead as a free-to-play person. And then they started really, I think, strangling people for their money a lot more, especially over the last year and a half. COVID was not so bad in 2020 as far as revenue, because there was just a lot more players. And then as those people, went back to work or whatever in 2021 and onwards, we started seeing the emergence of these very whale heavy events where, you know, in order to get ahead that you did have to spend more to do that. And that was a little bit frustrating. Probably because they lost the revenue stream from, you know, all the extra players. So they had to find ways to make it harder on us and more whaley so that, you know, those addicted players will go out and spend that to keep ahead.
That is the name of the game. Gaming did really well during COVID. And they're like, we need to stay that way for our shareholders.
Yeah, it's a bit unfortunate how it hits the player base, though. You know, I'm addicted. I'll admit it. You know, I've been on this since 2018, right? And I do content about it. I'm not going to lie. You know, I still play this. Sometimes I want, you know, like we talked about, if you strip away Marvel, what do you have left? And I wouldn't be still playing it if it wasn't Marvel.
So the reason you got into it was because you're a Marvel fan.
Yeah, I downloaded it actually when I was on holiday in 2018, a couple months after it came out. So I'm not right there at the start of the game, but like a few months later, and I was on holiday, and I don't know, I was bored one night, and I checked through the App Store. I don't normally play these types of games, or I hadn't in the past, because I didn't really play a lot of mobile games. And then I just picked it up, and I got addicted to it, and then during COVID is when I started my channel in 2020. And I was thinking about doing videos for some time, and then I just finally decided to do it, you know, during the start of COVID. So my first video on YouTube was May 2020. And so I've been running for about 2.5 years almost.
What did you search in the App Store that popped up?
I don't know. I think it might have just been maybe on the front screen somewhere. Like maybe it was just a recommended thing on iOS at the time. I don't remember if it was, I don't think I really went searching for it. I think I just maybe it popped up and I said, oh, what's this? You know, and then I think for us,
the big one was either you typed in Star Trek in the App Store because you wanted to see what was there, or somebody saw it on an ad on Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, I think because before this game, there was another big one, and it's still going, Star Wars Galaxy Heroes by EA in Capital Games.
I downloaded it. I'm not even a huge Star Wars fan, but I downloaded it just to check it out because a lot of people had talked about it, and it's a pretty good game.
Yeah, so Marvel Strike Force is like the Marvel version with slightly better graphics because that's a very old. The Star Wars one's quite old now. I think it's even maybe like 2015, 16. So it's kind of getting on as far as mobile game age goes. I don't know about Star Trek, but you know, sometimes there's probably a finite number of years that a game will just, I don't know, until it stops making money, I guess, and they move on to something else. But I think there's still at least a few more years of Marvel Strike Force.
Cool, man. Well, I think we should wrap up. I know, Boylan, you gotta take your dogs out. And anybody got any more questions?
Once. Twice. Thrice. Fuck you, you should have said something.
Boylan, hey, man, thanks for making the time to talk today. And sorry I sprung it on Kirk and Handy there, but... I think
so if you have a copy of this that you want to share with me, or like you have a link to where people can watch this, I can share this in my channel as well, my Discord channel, and see if anyone's interested in, well, you know, maybe hearing me talk or hearing me talk with you guys, you know, about it, and, you know, get some more traffic on that if you guys like.
Sounds good.
Yeah, absolutely. Love to cross universe promote. Guys, well, thank you everybody for listening. Boylan, thanks for being here, and everybody else that asked questions. And as always, please like, subscribe, comment, do all the things social media asks you to do. And as always, thanks again. I'm TechMan16.
I'm SK.
And I'm Andy.
I guess I'm Boylan for today. No, I am him. That's true.
That's right. And for Boom, we'll see you guys next time.